Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. Before we get started on our topic this week, we have a little announcement. You are now listening to an award-winning podcast. Apparently one of our precious listeners nominated A Word Fitly Spoken for the Christian Podcast Community's Top Christian Podcast of 2019. And we are humbled and honored to let you know that we made the list alongside podcasts like Relatable with Ally Beth Stuckey, Just Thinking, and Wretched Radio. So yes. Thank you so much to everyone who nominated us or voted for us. We appreciate that.
We sure do. That was such a surprise and so cool. We also wanted to extend a warm congratulations to our friends, Chris Honholtz and Rich Story over at Voice of Reason Radio. And they received the award for Best Christian Podcast Episode of 2019 for their episode titled Help, the Pastor is Drowning. So, and those two, if you haven't had a chance to listen to their podcast, they're awesome and they're so funny. And it's kind of funny. One of them speaks normally and one speaks Southern. So they're always copying us. We have this kind of running joke back and forth where they tease us because we'll do a program and they say, hey, we were just about to do that one. So yeah, so it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy those too.
Well, I just have to correct you on one thing there, Amy. You just said one of them speaks normally.
Normal.
And one of them speaks Southern.
Did you catch that, Michelle?
Speaks normally and one of them speaks Northern.
I mince what I mince. I'm just teasing you, sister.
On last week's episode entitled, But Did You Go to Him in Private? We talked about Matthew 18:15-17. Yeah. This is the passage that talks about church discipline. You know, the verse that says, if your brother sins against you, go to him privately and show him his sin just between the two of you. It is a very important instruction to be carried out inside the local church, but it doesn't apply to preaching and teaching in the public square.
Yeah, and if you missed that, go and catch that one. And Michelle, people seem to think that it does apply to those things, and it's one of the arguments you and I frequently get when we speak or write publicly critiquing false teachers, false teachings. But there are also several other objections that people typically raise when we do these things, when we critique false teachers. So we figured that if people are raising these objections with us, they're probably directing the same objections at you when you warn against these false teachers on your social media or even in your own church. So for the next few episodes, ladies, we thought we would talk about these objections and how you can answer them biblically.
Right. We want to put some tools in your discernment tool bag that you can have at the ready for dealing with these issues. So this week, the first objection we want to address is another one that Amy and I often hear. It'll be somebody saying, you say that this female Bible teacher is in disobedience to Scripture because she preaches to men, but you're just as guilty because you have a blog and social media pages that men can read.
And if
this argument is a little bit confusing, you may not be aware, you know, if you're a new Christian or you're not too familiar with the Bible yet, you may not be aware that the Bible, especially in 1 Timothy 2:11-15, but really all throughout Scripture, the Bible prohibits women from preaching to men, teaching the Bible to men, and holding authority over men in the gathered body of believers, the church. We'll put more information on that in our show notes in case you're new to that idea. But Amy, you've heard that argument, right? Well, you have a blog, you know, that men can read or whatever. I mean, we've both got websites that men might be able to read. We've spoken at women's conferences where we've been recorded and then the audio has been posted online. And now we've even got a podcast that men might listen to.
Yeah. And, you know, this is not the same thing as intentionally and unrepentantly preaching to men in the church setting. Really, all this accusation does is to demonstrate the accuser's lack of understanding of Scripture and how to correctly study in context, which unfortunately are fruits of sitting under the instruction of the same false teachers who don't train people in proper hermeneutics. So we want to talk about that in a minute, but first let's look at some of the practical aspects of these two situations. So, you know, making content available in the public square versus speaking or teaching to a live audience. So when you make a blog or a conference audio or a podcast available to the general public, if you put it out there, even if in your heart you only intend it to be for women, you know, there's really no way to limit its availability strictly to women. So when you're in a live audience teaching situation, however, there is. See the difference there? Live audience versus blog.
Right. That's right. I mean, if you're going to, for example, if you're going to teach a Bible study class at your church, you make it very clear in the announcements and the church announcements on the posters you put up, the bulletin announcements and so on, that this is a women's Bible study. If you're teaching the Bible at a conference, like I do sometimes, you make sure that it's a women's conference, or if it's a co-ed conference, that your particular session is only open to women. And if men come in while you're teaching, you kindly and gently direct them elsewhere. I've had to do that before. Yeah. And of course, you know, you decline any invitations to preach the Sunday sermon or to teach the Bible at events where you, where you know in advance that there will be men in the audience. But really, the main reason that blogs and books and social media and all that stuff are different from live teaching situations is that the Bible's admonition that women aren't to teach men is in a very specific context. The gathering of the church body to do churchy things like studying the Bible, worshiping, praying, and so on. That's the context of that teaching.
Oh, that's right, Michelle. And Facebook is not the gathering of the church body. If you're using it for that, nope, that's not church.
That's
a blog,
right?
A blog is not gathering the church body together. A book, reading a book, isn't the same as gathering of the church body. And of course, a radio show or a podcast like this one is not gathering the church body. So the Sunday morning worship service is the gathering of the church body, right? It's a co-ed Bible study class is the gathering of the church body. And a co-ed Christian conference is the gathering of the church body as well. So that's the difference there. The Bible does not prohibit women from making content available publicly. It prohibits women from preaching to and teaching men and exercising authority over men within the context of the church gathering. And it's important when we're applying scripture to any situation that we understand it in context and we apply it in the same context.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's so important that we get all of that straight or we're going to be really confused. And before we move on, I'd like to throw out one more thought on this topic. Why is it when people make this argument that they always fault the female content creator, not the male consumer? Mm. For example, when I set up my blog, I was very careful to label it for women right there at the top.
Yeah.
And all over the place, I make it very clear that this is a blog for women. And Amy, I know your Bible study website, Naomi's Table, is the same way, right?
Yeah. Yep. It surely is.
Yeah. Now, not every woman who creates public Christian content like books and blogs and this kind of thing, not every woman who creates public Christian content creates it specifically for women. But for a moment, let's just consider the ones who do, like Amy and me. Why are we to blame if a man starts reading our websites when we've made abundantly clear that these materials are for women? I mean, think of it like trespassing on someone's land or property. If I fence in my property and lock my doors and put out a no trespassing sign, is it my fault if someone climbs over the fence and breaks into my house? I mean, if a man is improperly receiving biblical instruction from a blog or any other materials specifically labeled for women, the man is the one at fault, not the woman blogger who has no intention of instructing him.
Yeah. I would agree with you that. And I was just thinking about this as you were speaking. Back when I used to do radio, I did a radio program called Stand Up for the Truth, and I had a male co-host. And there were some people who got the idea that that was actually church. You know, we gathered together, and and I was very, very careful that I wasn't in teaching mode. I was in reporting mode. But nonetheless, that was not church. That was not the gathering of the saints,
right?
Even though people were listening to the radio. There was one where there was some concern about a conference that I was at with Chris Roseborough at Pirate Christian Radio, and he had a Bible conference there, but it wasn't really a Bible conference. It was more about teaching and warning about false teachers, and there were pastors there, and he invited me to come, and I asked him about that. I said, Chris, are you sure? Because, you know, I'm a woman, and this is the conference, and it's in a church. And he said, I promise you, you're not going to be doing any teaching. And he even addressed the audience, and, you know, at the time, and said, you know, we're just reporting here. This isn't the gathering of the church. So that was the one exception where, you know, I felt a little uncomfortable at first, but I wanted to make sure that, you know, everybody knew I was not teaching. I was reporting on some incidents. So, so that was the main difference there.
Yeah. And Chris is really good about that too. I mean, if anybody stands up staunchly against women preaching, it's Chris. So I know
absolutely
that's so great. So.
You know, as we're thinking about this, the next objection, and there are so many to warning against false teachers that we often hear, is this one. Somebody might say, well, you shouldn't be writing or speaking against that teacher. You should just be praying for her. Or, well, did you pray for her? You know, that kind of thing. So when people make statements like this, they're really assuming that we don't pray for false teachers. Well, of course we do. I know you do, Michelle, and I do too. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but to say that we should only pray for them and not warn others of them, that's really basically saying that Jesus, Paul, Peter, Jude, and John, and all the other New Testament writers who warned against false teachers and false doctrine were wrong to do so and should simply have prayed for them instead. And not only that, the Holy Spirit breathed out the scriptures warning against false teachers. Was he wrong as well? Of course, tongue in cheek, of course he was not. So I think that people who make this pronouncement aren't really thinking things all the way through.
Yeah, I agree. And furthermore, you know, I don't even know where they're getting this idea of don't warn them, just pray for them, because that's certainly not what the Bible teaches. I mean, quite the opposite. You will search long and hard, but you will not find a single Bible verse that says this or even implies this, that you should just be praying for the false teacher and not doing something about it. Every example the Bible gives, every instruction in scripture teaches us to confront sin in the church, including the sin of false teaching, and to deal with it biblically, not just pray for the person who's sinning. Let's look at a few of those verses. Romans 16:17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. In other words, false teachers. Mm-hmm. Avoid them. Watch out for them. Avoid them, the Holy Spirit tells us through his word. 2 John 10:11. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the sound teaching that John the Apostle is talking about bringing to the church, if he does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Mm. Jude 3, the second half of Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith that was delivered once for all to the saints. And then these last two verses that I'm about to read are particularly directed at pastors in the pastoral epistle of Titus. It's ultimately the responsibility of the pastor to guard his church from false teachers. Titus 1:9 says, he, the pastor, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. This is actually in the list of qualifications a pastor must meet to even be a pastor. And then Titus 3:10-11, as for a person who stirs up division, and we know that this is someone who teaches false doctrine, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. The Bible never instructs us to stand idly by and just pray for someone we know is sinning. And if you're teaching false doctrine, you're sinning. We just read that in Titus 3:11. I mean, if you saw someone stealing money from your church week after week, would you just pray for that person, or would you confront him and deal with the problem? Yeah, of course you would step in and handle the issue according to scripture. You would not just watch it continue to happen if it were within your power to stop it. And false teaching is far more serious than stealing mere money. Yeah. We need to do everything within our power to stop it. Amy, you got anything to add on this?
Well, souls are at stake. And I would just add, you had asked before, where does that idea come from that we should just pray for the person, that we shouldn't speak up? And I saw that a lot in the purpose-driven movement, from the last decade, that came right out of Saddleback Church, but other, kind of the seeker friendly model where, you don't want to cause division by speaking up. And what they're really talking about, the Bible talks about, you just read the verses, Michelle, causing division with false teaching. But somehow we've twisted that through this purpose driven movement to say, you're actually causing division by causing conflict, by bringing up uncomfortable subjects. And these are uncomfortable subjects. So, and I think that the scolding that you often hear, did you pray for the person, is really just meant to silence you and keep you from saying anything else that would come against this person's favorite teacher or to cause conflict or uncomfortable feelings. And so really we have to get back to what scripture says about it. And it's pretty clear teaching.
Exactly. What you just said is really important, that a lot of these, like we talked about last week with the Matthew 18 argument and these arguments as well, a lot of these objections to warning against false teachers are not really, well, first of all, they're not biblical objections, but they're really just meant to shut you up. They're meant to throw up a roadblock and try to embarrass you or shame you or make you feel guilty for what you've said, which is biblical. And that is not a godly or biblical thing for someone to do. So just keep in mind, if you are kindly and gently and lovingly warning against false teachers because you love the people that they're victimizing and you love the churches that they are tearing apart, that is a godly and biblical thing to do. Do it with care, do it with kindness, do it with gentleness, but keep on doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Don't forget to stop by awordfitlyspoken.life to check out our show notes for this episode. And please remember, podcasting costs money, so we could really use your financial support. While you're checking out awordfitlyspoken.life, would you please consider clicking over to our financial support page and making a donation through PayPal or Patreon? We would be most grateful, and we promise to steward your gift very well. Yes. Until next time, keep lovingly warning against those false teachers and walk worthy.